today, we're going to look at building a daring faith. Hebrews chapter 11. I read the first six verses as we opened up the service, but I wanted to read the whole chapter, but time is getting short on me here. It's an amazing chapter. So what I'm going to ask you to do then is, if you have not read Hebrews chapter 11 in a long time, that's your homework for this week. Okay? I want you to go home, not this week, for today. Go home, open up your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the chapter, because I don't think I have time right now to read the whole chapter. But I will read verses 1 to 6 again, because we're going to be looking at those. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And then down to verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because everyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There's so much in this chapter, but, you know, time is of the essence. And I think this is week 12 or 13 of our series. So, you know, we can't, it'd be amazing to exegete every single verse in the whole book, but, you know, we just can't do that. We'd be here for 10 years, but maybe that'd be a good thing. But today we're going to look at these two specific verses, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 6. Now, it mentions Abel in those first six verses. It talks about the faith of Abel and the faith of Enoch. And then it talks about the faith of Noah in that chapter and the faith of Abraham. And it goes on and on and on. The faith of the ancients. And as I was thinking about Noah, amazing man of God, man of faith, I thought there's a few lessons that we could learn from Noah. Here's a couple of them. First of all, don't miss the boat. Okay? Remember, we are all in the same boat. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. You need to stay fit because you never know. When you're 600 years old, God just might have a plan for you and ask you to do something that will exert your energy a little bit. Another thing we can learn is, for safety's sake, travel in pairs, right? When you're stressed, just float for a while. And no matter the storm, when you are with God, there's always a rainbow waiting for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, let's get right into verse 1. The Christian believer, we're told, is to walk by faith, not by feelings, not by emotions. You know, we often act out in our lives according to our feelings. When we experience some emotion, we usually behave according to that emotion. If we feel bad, sometimes we act irresponsibly. We grumble and we complain and we react. Anybody? No. Gonna raise your hand with me? Anybody? Ken's perfect, so he doesn't have to worry about this. And then if we feel good, we act like we're happy. Our behavior is determined by how we feel and react to emotional experiences. But living by our feelings is actually contrary to the will of God. Because if we flip back to chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "My righteous one will live by faith." Not by our emotions, not by our feelings, but by faith. We are to let faith control our lives, and the particular problems that we undoubtedly confront in our lives from time to time. Now, chapter 11 is one of the great chapters in the Bible. It's known as God's Great Hall of Fame. men and women who have believed God down through the millennia, down through the centuries, are listed as being great men and women of God. And the key to any of us being great in the eyes of God is faith. Faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought we'd start off by kind of looking at a little definition of what faith is. What does faith mean? Do you realize that this is the only verse in the whole entire Bible that actually gives a definition or a description of the word faith? Time and time again, we read about faith through the scriptures. The Bible discusses faith and its huge importance to us, and it gives example after example of men and women who have and who have not believed God, and it shows in clear terms in the scriptures regarding faith what happens to each, those who have it and those who don't. But nowhere in the Bible defines faith except for this chapter 11, verse 1. So let's look at the biblical definition again, just for a second. In the New King James Version, it says this: "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So the word substance here means the foundation, assurance, title deed, a guarantee of things hoped for. And the word evidence means conviction. And according to most commentators, this is what is meant by these two words in this particular verse. So faith would be defined as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So I want us to look closely at what is being said here. Faith is being described as an act of the mind and heart. Scripture seems to be saying that faith is the actual possession of reality. And isn't this what the term title deed is saying? A person who holds the title deed to a property actually possesses or owns that property. And from God's perspective, we already possess, we already own his promises. He has already seated us in the heavenlies. And we already possess or own eternal life. It's not that we are going to own it. We already do. We already do. It means this: faith is the substance, the actual possession of things hoped for, the evidence and reality of things that are not seen. It's both an act and a ownership of the thing that we believe in. We may not be able to see it, but it's real. It's existing, and we can possess it by believing and having faith in it. So biblical faith is not, "I think so," or "I hope so." "It may be so," "It may not be so." "It might be true," "It may not be true." No, true, no. Biblical faith doesn't deal with what is unreal, what is imaginary, what is superficial or deceptive. Biblical faith is the knowledge, the experience, and possession of things hoped for. True biblical faith only deals with the truth and the reality of knowing what is real, experiencing what is real, and possessing what is real. So, that's a little brief definition of what faith is. But I want to look at verse 6 now. And I want to take a look at the necessary beliefs of faith. I'm assuming that most everybody in this room today has a faith to believe, because I know most of you, well, all of you, except for maybe a couple, really well. So, verse 6, "And without faith," listen to this, "without faith, it is impossible to please God." That's a staggering phrase. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's one of the greatest verses of Scripture, and it's one, you know what? Here, I'm going to add something to your homework. Memorize that verse. Get it in your heart. Get it in your spirit. So it's saying here that, first of all, it's impossible to please God without faith. And by faith here, we're talking about a living, an active faith, a faith that knows and follows God and communes and fellowships with Him. There's an intimacy factor to it. It's relational. Faith is relational. And what does this mean? Without faith, the person will never live with God, not in this world, nor in the next world to come. I mean, you can't mess around with this verse and try and make it say something other than what it says. Without faith, a person has to plow through this life all alone and handle all the trials, all the temptations, all the sufferings, all the accidents, even death itself without him. So without faith, a person stands all alone in this world, utterly without God. It is impossible to please God without faith. John 3:18 says this, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." John 8:24, "That is why I said that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am," this is Jesus, "unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins." Staggering. So there's a couple of things that are necessary in this thing called faith. First, it's impossible to please God without faith. And secondly, the person who comes to God must believe two things. They must believe in God, that God is, that he exists. You know, tourists really take great photographs. We've traveled many, many places in the world over the years. And when I look back at pictures, you know, you take 100 shots and maybe one is good. You know, it's just the way we seldom take the effort to be at the right spot at the right time to get the right light to make that picture perfect. You know, we just simply snap. But to capture beautiful outdoor pictures, professional photographers are careful to view the scene from different angles and during different times of the day, get different lighting, different setting, different wind, you know, the atmosphere affects photos as well. And this makes me wonder if the reason some people don't have a clear picture of the beauty and the glory of God is that they make snap judgments. They come to the wrong conclusions about God based on a bad church experience. One little bad church experience, and they're gone. Or they've encountered somebody who is a Christian, but maybe they're not walking out their faith walk as they should be, and it affects an individual. It turns them off. They misjudge what the Lord is like, and they turn away from him. They feel disillusioned. The pursuit of God involves more than casual observation. 1 Chronicles 28:9 says this. King David told his son Solomon this. He said, if you seek him, he will be found by you. It's simple. Seek him, and you will find him. Psalm 119:2, the psalmist says, "Blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart." You'll be blessed. Seek him with your whole heart. Hebrews 11:6, again, the author of Hebrews wrote that God rewards those who diligently seek him. So to see and know God in all of his fullness and all of his glory, we can't approach him like tourists. We need to seek him at all times. The Bible tells us we need to seek him with our whole heart, mind, soul, with all of our strength. So, according to verse 6, the person who comes to God must believe that he exists, and also they must believe that God rewards those who diligently or earnestly seek him. Anybody in for a reward? It means to seek out God, to diligently seek to find him, and when you find him, you follow him. God does not reward the sleepy-eyed, complacent, non-thinking, half-interested, worldly-minded pleasure seeker. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Earnestly, with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. The idea is that we must be in earnest and persevere and endure to the very end. And what's the reward to those who diligently seek God? It's the same reward that was given to Abel and to Enoch and to Noah and Abraham and all the others listed in this beautiful chapter and all through the scripture and all through time. The reward is the righteousness of God, his care for us in this life, and our deliverance from death to eternal life. Isn't that your heart? Luke 11:9 to 10 says this: "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." John 6:28 to 29. Then they asked him, Jesus, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this." Pay attention now. "The work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent." Wow. And Romans 10:17, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So, where are you this morning? Where is your faith at? Are you earnestly seeking him? Are you seeking him at all? Are you knocking at the door, waiting for him to open it for you? It's impossible to please God without faith. The scripture tells us that the person who comes to God must believe two things: to believe that he is, and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently, continuously, from now till eternity, seek him. Would you just bow your heads for a moment, please? If you're here today, and the truth of this word about faith has twigged something in you, it's ignited a little spark in you, a spark that is causing you to want to renew your faith, to see it come to life again, to see it rejuvenated. If you want to make a commitment before the Lord today that, yes, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're speaking to me, I hear you. My faith has been waning and I want it back. I want to get on that track of diligently seeking after you with all of my heart, my soul, my mind. If that's you today, if you just need a refreshing of your faith, would you just put your hand up for me, please? Every eye is closed so that this is personal. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Now, if you're here today and you've never walked a faith walk yet, if you are sensing in your heart that I need Jesus in my life, if you want to take a step of faith today, literally, if you want to make a decision for Jesus today, maybe for the first time, and receive him into your life as your Savior, and begin this faith journey with him. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand for a moment, please? If you've never received Jesus into your life and you'd like to do that today, today's your day. Just raise your hand before the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Well, Lord, I ask that you would bless those of us who put up our hands. Honestly, Lord, I think all of us could do with a rejuvenation of our faith walk. I don't really think any of us are exempt. So, Father, I pray that as we walk out of this building week in and week out, Lord, that we don't leave our faith in the pew, but that we carry it out with us as we leave this house, that we would begin a journey with you that is fresh, that is new, that is power-filled, that is Holy Spirit-driven. Father, that you would rejuvenate us by the power of your Spirit. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.